Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable. And as advertised, Sean Stone, our cultural correspondent, is with us this morning to tell us what is happening in area stages and screens. And it's always a pleasure to have Sean on our program. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Joe.
How are you?
Delightful.
Excellent. You're always delightful.
Speaking of which,
yes,
I saw a delightful movie. Hail Caesar.
Now, here, I have not seen it yet. I'm looking forward to seeing it. And here's just a quick little anecdote. But there was a friend of mine who I happened to meet in the grocery store. And he seemed in a particularly giddy mood. And I said, you seem like you're in a really good mood. And he goes, you know what? I just came from seeing Hail Caesar, and I just had a delightful time, and I just find myself being very happy. And I thought, well, that's a nice way to be after seeing a movie.
It's one of the Coen brothers' lighter, more picaresque stories, sort of like Big Lebowski or Hunchback of Proxy. It's in that vein, and it's set in Hollywood at the middle of the 20th century at a giant studio. Josh Brolin is the studio head, and he's juggling all these stars and all this action. And in it, the Coen brothers get to recreate typical genres of the period. So Hail Caesar with George Clooney in his, sandals and sword, and Scarlett Johansson as a sort of Esther Williams type, and Channing Tatum as a Gene Kelly type, and all of the movie within a movie stuff is really well done. It's like, if there's one thing people screw up, it's that.
Yes.
They're such students of history anyway, but of cinema, but it's really enjoyable, and it's just so loopy and fun. And the interesting thing about it is when you get to the end, you realize that they're making their pitch for art, because on the other side of the movie is, the communist writers and the, right, and Lockheed and and aerospace. And they're like, no, we like art. Art is important. Even if it's George Clooney at the foot of the cross trying to remember his lines.
It's art.
Yes.
And it seemed in just the clips that I saw that there was sort of a mad world kind of vibe to it.
There is that. In addition to, like, there's a lot of principal actors.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fun cameos. And all of the performances are wonderful. There's a Ray Fiennes as a director trying to turn a cowboy actor, Alden Ehrenreich, into a debonair leading man, which is hysterical.
Sounds like good stuff.
It is good stuff.
Excellent. So then you went to, I guess I was going to say From the Sublime, but no, I guess they're somewhat similar, actually.
Similar.
It's the Three Stooges Fest.
Again, at the Palace, and it was a great time. They show six shorts, there's an intermission, and they show all that extra, like the in theater, classic in theater stuff from the 40s
stuff.
And 50s.
Sure.
Yeah. And it was interesting because I posted about it on Twitter, and somebody asked me, well, why can't they do the Marx Brothers? And I thought about it. I'm like, well, there's like five or six good Marx Brothers movies. You'd have to do them as a double feature, whereas the Three Stooges, you literally have like almost like 18 years worth of shorts to choose from, and they were doing like five or six shorts a year. So it's a little easier to do a Three Stooges Fest every year.
So how many were in the festival?
There were six.
There's six.
Plus they showed some of their cartoons from the 60s before the show began.
Okay.
Which was weird, but
so do you get all the various incarnations of the Stooges?
You get both Shemp and Curly.
Okay. Yeah. That's what you need.
Yeah, no Curly Joe.
Okay. And then coming up, well, I guess beginning tomorrow.
Yes, Theater Voices at Steamer 10 Theater on Western Avenue in Albany will be performing. They do a stage reading of Art, which is a very funny comedy about,
yes,
what is art? That's Friday through Sunday. They have matinee and evening performances. Check their website. Friday night at the Egg, it's Jackie Green and his band. He has impeccable hippie credentials. He has played with Bob Weir and Phil Lesh and Joan Osborne.
So
that's all you need to know.
Good hippie creds.
Exactly.
Excellent.
And then Friday night at MPAC, it's trumpeter Nate Woolley from Brooklyn. I know he was on your show. He does vocalese trumpet, sort of.
He won my undying love and respect when he was on this program earlier this week by saying two things. One, that he had great contempt for the instrument that he plays.
There you go.
I think that's great. And also that we need to realize that there's a fine line between music and noise.
Yeah, well, that is true.
And I just thought it was he's very, very cool, and what he's doing is very, very cool. And so it's at MPAC tomorrow night. He's ending a residency. They're what, recording there and doing a whole album thing. So good for him.
And it's in the big concert hall.
Yeah, so it'd be great. It'd be
great
really
place
great.
To see it. And then Saturday night at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, it's the great South African group Ladysmith Black Mambazo, who I actually saw at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall about 10 years ago.
For some reason, this is of no one's concern, but I find it interesting because Ladysmith Black Mambazo makes fairly regular appearances around here.
Yes.
I'm a huge fan. When they have a new album out, I buy it. I love listening to them. And I have never seen them live, and it always seems that just when they're coming, so for this particular year, it's like the day I go on vacation, or there's just something,
right.
There's always that thing that keeps me from going. And one of these years, I just look forward to seeing them, because it just seems, and as you said, you saw them, what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, eight, 10 years ago at the music hall. It was dynamic, exciting, the great, you know, singing. And
a great place to see them, obviously.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ladysmith Black Mambazo on Saturday night, the 13th.
And then the intro music that we heard was from the Triplets of Belleville, which is being shown at Proctor's on Saturday night with live music accompanying that great animated film by Le Terrible Orchestra de Belleville, which is a lovely name.
It is a lovely name. It's the Triplets of Belleville, and I saw a little promotional video on it. It looks like a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, should be great. That's Saturday night. And then on Sunday
afternoon at 5 o'clock at the Palace Theater in Albany, it's the Black History Month Step Show. And this sort of combines national, regional, and local step dance groups. So it's a big deal. And then Tuesday night at Upstate Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Clifton Park, St. Lucia, Brooklyn electronic pop band. The kids love them. It's kind of a thing. And then Wednesday.
Kind of a thing.
Yes. And then Wednesday, also at the Palace, 3 p.m., apparently the kids will be home.
Oh, that's right. It is school break week next
yes.
week. So you need things for the kids.
They're still wandering around the house singing those songs from Frozen. So take them to the Palace and let them sing along with the thing on the film on the big screen. Get it out of their system. Maybe they won't sing them in the songs in the car on the way home.
So it wasn't until maybe about 6 weeks ago, it was shortly before Christmas, where my wife said, "I can't believe you haven't seen this movie yet. Sit down and watch it." And we did, and I loved it. I really enjoyed it more than I ever thought I would, because I'm a huge Disney fan, but I just thought it was a great, great film. And why I hadn't seen it earlier and had contempt for it, I don't know.
Probably because everywhere you go where there's anyone under 3 foot tall, they were singing it for a period. I remember once I was at the mall, and I was in one of the stores that still sell CDs and
yes.
DVDs, and there was this little girl there with her father, and she's telling him the plot, and she's singing him the songs.
Belting
it out in the store while he is being patient.
And because I remember you reviewing it at the time, and I mean you liked it.
Yeah.
It's a good movie, but
yeah.
It's okay. So that's next Wednesday, and then new movies coming out. A couple of them.
We got Zoolander 2,
right?
Long awaited.
15 years?
Yeah,
okay. Something like that. They've
been doing a lot of press for it. Did you see that they were on Saturday Night Live?
I did. Yes.
I really liked when Owen Wilson said, "And did you see last week O.J. Simpson killed someone again?" That was pretty funny. Then we have the annual Valentine's Day movie that's insulting singles. It's called How to Be Single. And then we have the big, I think it's Marvel. I don't know, DC. I don't know. Deadpool superhero movie with
yes.
Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
They seem to have preempted his usual bad acting by making him wear a mask through all the movie. And then this one I'm just mentioning because I was like, wait a minute, what, Cabin Fever? Oh, they're remaking an Eli Roth horror movie from 10 years ago. Yay. That's great. That's what the world's been waiting for. Teenagers at a cabin going crazy from a zombie virus.
You know, we haven't seen that in a while.
No. New ground. Breaking new ground.
Breaking new ground since yesterday. Well, you can see Sean's list by going to our website. It's wamc.org/roundtable. Sean, it's always a pleasure to have you on the program. We'll talk next week.
Terrific.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.